Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Monster Truck Outlaws West podcast, episode number 31. I am joined with Phil Vicinanza. And Phil, we're back. We're not slowing down, as we always say. And we know this guest pretty well. We actually were at a show with him a couple weeks back or a couple months ago. I don't even know at this point, but
we're all getting old. Time's running together. What can you say?
That's for sure. Now, who's the guy we're talking about?
Well, you know, you mentioned that event we were out at a couple months back, but, you know, we live in Arizona. We see this driver a lot. We really had the privilege of seeing him start, especially in my case, and then seeing him to where he is now. We say rising star a lot on the podcast, but our guest tonight is the 100% definition of a rising star. He is the driver of the Rat Attack, Jacob Ladwig.
Jacob, welcome to the show. How are you doing tonight?
Good. How are you guys doing? Awesome to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, man. Thank you for signing up and hanging out with us here tonight.
No problem. I'm sure happy to do this. Like I was telling you guys earlier, especially when I seen you guys in Yuma. You know, I love the show that you guys are doing, this podcast. It's awesome. Especially, you know, everybody getting to see what, you know, kind of what we're like when we're not around the big loud trucks and stuff. So, no, it's really cool to be on here, and I'm glad you guys have me a part of it.
Awesome to have you on tonight. You know, I've been seeing you at shows all year long. Well, a couple shows, and Yuma was one of those shows, and definitely was awesome seeing you again in Rat Attack. But I'm going to start off with the first question. How did you get your start in motorsports?
That happened back in 2015, which was the same year I graduated. It was that year I met Sam Sturgis at a show that he did in my hometown of Casper, Wyoming. And I just, you know, like every year I always tried to go up to the event center, you know, a few days before, you know, try to meet all the drivers and all the people there just to try to get my, you know, get my foot in the door. But, you know, just now, like looking at it, I understand a little bit more, but back then it was just everybody kind of kept shutting me out. And, you know, it was kind of like I understood it, you know, a young kid that, you know, doesn't really know much about Moss trucks or anything like that. You know, they'd rather have somebody with a little bit more of a background and stuff. So like, I understand it definitely now, but, you know, Sam was finally the first one that just, you know, was like, if you're willing to do this and work every day on these stupid things, and you know what? I'll give you a chance. And so I helped him out throughout that whole week doing displays, you know, and then as soon as it come to doing the show, we hauled the trucks up to the event center and helped him, you know, get everything shined up, you know, nothing bolted on the trucks and ready to go. And we did the show, and everything for the show went good. It was a really good show. And then afterwards, you know, I think he kind of figured I was probably just going to bail out, you know, thanks for getting me behind the scenes and everything. But after the show, I helped him tire down. He had all three of his trucks there, Unnamed, Nasty Boy, and Rat Attack. And he had all three there. So I helped him tire down all three, helped load everything. And it was probably about halfway through tiring down, typical Wyoming weather in February. And it just, a blizzard come in. It got cold. It started snowing. It was picking up 40 plus mile an hour winds. And I stayed and helped throughout the whole deal. You know, they actually left the event center and I was still sitting there because I brought a friend up with me and he left me because he didn't want to stay out in the cold any longer. So I was actually still sitting there as they were driving away and I had to call my brother. This is probably 2 o'clock in the morning for him to come pick me up and take me back home. So, and just before Sam left, he gave me his contact info and told me that he possibly had some shows in Wyoming during the summer. And when I got closer to that time, you know, it was to give him a call and stuff like that. So sure enough, that time came. I think it was right towards the end of July. I gave him a call and asked him about these shows. And he said, told me where they were and asked what ones I could make it to. And I was like, I'll be at all three. So I just drove up there, helped him at all three of those shows. And then I told him that I was moving to Arizona to go start college down there. So I was going to be real close to him and stuff like that. And then everything just kind of clicked from there. So,
I mean, I'd have to imagine that, you know, maybe Monster Trucks wasn't the first thing in your mind. You know, what was just getting in motorsports in general a goal, or was it always just Monster Trucks or whatever?
No, it was definitely Monster Trucks from the time I was really born. You know, it's just the only thing I can really remember, really just caring about and knowing that was my dream. That's what I wanted to do. And, you know, like any normal, typical kid, you know, you tell everybody that's what you want to do. And as years go on and you start growing older, and you start telling people that you want to be a monster truck driver when you're 16, 17, you know, people start looking at you like, you know, when are you going to grow up? It's time to grow up, time to get realistic. And so I know for a while I kind of did get rid of monster trucks because of so many people telling me that, you know, that it was unrealistic. And so I moved on to another unrealistic opportunity, and that was to be a basketball player. So, and obviously that didn't work out. So thankfully the monster trucks did.
Yeah, you got that right. So, you know, you're down there doing school and you're out there helping Sam in the shop or wherever. You know, you're just really learning everything in that environment. What's it like learning so much from a legend like Sam Sturgis?
I think the biggest thing is, like, now, obviously, nobody knows absolutely everything. But with Sam, I haven't seen the guy fail at anything. And, like, when I first started with him, you know, like, obviously you listen to him because it's his equipment, it's his trucks, you know, it's his way, you know, like. But then as years kind of went on and things started, like, I started getting more familiar and getting more of an idea on what the heck I was even doing. You know, I started kind of, you know, trying to do things my own way and try to figure out how to do it my way. But, you know, it didn't really take me long to figure out that, you know, as we go to shows, like everywhere we go, Sam's always there to help anybody. It don't really matter. And he's just, you know, he's got that talent and that nag and everything for just being somebody to just help. And I think with him being able to learn stuff that, you know, he's been able to go through and learn the last, you know, 35, 40 years doing this. And even back when he was doing the mud bogs and everything else, you know, it finally hit me that You know, obviously Sam's been doing this for a long time and he knows what he's doing. So I just need to shut up. I need to learn what he's got to say. And like, it just, it's amazing how good he is with anything. You give him a task, I swear. And it could be on Monster Truck related and he'll figure it out. You know, like sometimes being out at the house and stuff and his wife Peggy would be like, oh, you know, I got this on the house we need to get done. And Sam's like, well, I guess I've been putting it off, so we better get it done. And he's like, I don't really know how I'm going to do it. But, you know, he finds some way, somehow to do it. And he does everything just off the top of his head. He might have to take a couple nights and stuff, a few drinks or something to be like, all right, this is how I'm going to do it. So then we'll get up that next morning and be like, nah, this is how we're going to do it. We'll get it done. We might spend all day doing it, but it's going to be done right. It's going to look good when we're done. And I just being around him for the last, you know, 6 years has definitely helped me in my like own life to figure out, you know, that there's a way around something, whether you're stuck on it, you don't know what exactly to do. There's a way to get around it and finish the job. And I honestly think I lucked out being able to be a part of Sam's team, because I don't know what else I would do if it wasn't for him.
So what would you say would be your biggest learning curve getting started with, you know, Monster Trucks?
Well, the biggest learning curve was definitely for me was getting acclimated to the environment of Monster Trucks, because there's just so much going on. And like, if you don't really know exactly what you're doing, there can be a lot of pressure to it, especially when it comes to getting trucks ready, you know, like just simply tiring up a truck, you know, if you don't get lug nuts and stuff tight and then, you know, a wheel falls off in the middle of a run and goes into the stands or hurts somebody or something, you know, it's a lot of pressure to just get the job done right. And I think that was probably the biggest learning curve for me, was just being able to take in all the pressure and everything around the whole environment and just learn to just settle down. You know, just if you don't make it a big of a deal as what your mind is making it, then, you know, just slow down, make sure you double check things, you got things right, and, you know, have confidence in yourself and know that the people who are teaching you, you know, that they're teaching you to do it the right way. And you just got to have confidence in that and stuff. So that was probably my biggest learning curve. The driving part was obviously another learning curve, but I guess the driving, as you do more shows, you get to know how to drive a truck, just what that truck is, what it's capable of, how it handles and what it does. And for me, it was just driving all three of Sam's trucks. Each one of them was different. You know, two of them, you would kind of look at them and be like, yeah, they're pretty much the same, but they're not, you know. And then moving on to the vet was just a totally different ball game. It was just completely different. Like, you had to drive the truck differently, everything about it. So it just, the driving part, I think, whether you know how to really drive or not, I think if you have enough time, you can learn and you can definitely teach yourself, you know, because you're going to make mistakes no matter what. But you just want to try and progress and limit the mistakes and get better at driving and being in the environment you're in. But, you know, some people can do it and some people can't. And I've been fortunate enough that I've been able to do pretty good at learning how to drive, keep the truck in one piece, make the show, put on a good show, make a paycheck. Let's load everything up and let's go to the next one. Do it all again. So,
and make sure if you guys are tuning in with us, you like and share this podcast video. Make sure you share it across social media so everybody can join us here as we continue on with Jacob Ladwig. And, you know, you're talking about the learning curve, especially with a lot of Sam's unique trucks. Let's talk about the first time you got in the truck and competed for the first time. It was Yuma, Arizona in 2015. What was going through your mind as you're strapping in to Nasty Boy for the first time in an event?
I'd say going through my mind was, you know, just don't wreck the truck. You know, like, I didn't care about looking foolish or anything like that, because, you know, I know I was brand new. It was the first time I was ever going to drive. I wasn't going to be a superstar or nothing right off the bat. So I wasn't worried about that. It was just, you know, just do the show. Don't wreck anything. Don't hurt anything. And just try to, you know, try to make Sam know that I'm here and this is what I want to do. And I'm here to, you know, take care of your trucks and have fun all at the same time. So that's what was pretty much going through my mind the first time I strapped in. And being that it was Nasty Boy, the first truck I ever drove, you know, I never got to meet Ronnie personally. And but as I got in to be with Sam a little bit more, I got to learn a little bit of what Ronnie was like. And just from Sam telling me, Peggy telling me, you know, just everybody who I met who had known Ronnie has told me and what he was like. And then watching videos of him driving that truck, and I was just like, man, this is some big shoes to fill. And I kind of, you know, obviously being new, I knew it would take a lot of years to be able to fill those shoes, and I still don't even think I ever could. But I just wanted to make everybody happy. I know the first time that I ever drove, and that was just what was going through my head, you know. And I just, luckily everything went good, and then it was just very heartwarming to feel that, you know, Sam was just happy with it. And then, you know, I went probably another 4 or 5 months without even ever racing the truck again. And then when I got back into doing it again, Sam told me, he's like, hey, we got a show up in Sholo. You know, I want you to drive. And I was like, okay, cool. And then he puts me in unnamed. I was like, all right, cool. So I got to learn another truck, just throw me in that one. And so it just, the first truck I ever drove being Nasty Boy, it was big shoes to fill. It was nerve wracking and stuff, but I just wanted to make sure that I did my job, and I made sure nothing got hurt, nothing got broke. So I accomplished something.
So we got a comment in the stream from Bob Lane. It says, don't wreck the truck. Pretty good advice, which leads me on to my next question. What advice did Sam give you for driving the truck?
He just told me momentum. Momentum is the biggest thing. With his trucks, you don't crawl up to any obstacles and then just put it all the way to the floor and hold it. You know, you want to make sure that you have momentum going into each obstacle and hit everything straight. If you hit everything straight and you hit everything with momentum and you power all the way through, then 99% of the time, you're going to be just fine. You just got to land and turn the truck and get to the next one now. So that's the biggest advice he's always given me, just momentum and hit everything straight.
So you hit everything straight there, and, you know, you get into the Rat Attack. I know I see in the comments a past Rat Attack driver, my buddy Cesar Nunez. I hope you're doing well, man. Hi, Cesar. Jacob's a really good driver. So I would agree with that statement as well. But, you know, the Rat Attack is such a unique truck, especially, you know, not only compared to Sam's other trucks, but any other truck on the circuit. So you jump into Rat Attack, it's got to be a whole foreign operation for you, isn't it?
Yeah, it's definitely a totally different ball game. Being that the motor, it's a front engine truck, which people might say it's a mid engine, but regardless, the motor still sits in front of you. So to me, it's a front engine truck, and the truck is just a totally different animal. It handles differently. You know, it's got the same motor and everything as Sam's other trucks, you know, so it's got the same power and stuff, but it just, even with that power, you have to drive the truck differently to make it do anything. Like anybody who knows Sam, that guy can do a wheelie while he was sleeping, you know. It's that easy for him, and it just the way his truck is set up is just perfect for it. So jumping into Rat Attack, it was a totally different, I had to relearn almost how to drive a monster truck all over again, because that truck just doesn't do what a normal truck would do. And I say it was, you know, it's very different and everything, but that was the truck that I kind of connected with the quickest, honestly. And it just, I think with that truck, as I tell a lot of people, makes me look way better than I probably really am, because I've driven Sam's truck even after driving Rat Attack, and I just, like, I'm restarting again. You know, I'm on a blank page all over again, and I can do it and get through a show and stuff, but I just, I can't drive unnamed or anything like I can the vet. And it just, like, was like watching Caesar drive it, you know, like he had, like he explained a lot to me on how the truck works, how it reacts, and what it's good at and what it's not good at. And I've seen Caesar do amazing wheelies in that truck too. And so I knew the truck could wheelie. It was all really just about, I have to figure out how to do it. And Caesar helped me out a lot. And honestly, Sam has driven it a couple times, and he'll tell you he absolutely hates the thing. And I remember just trying to figure out how to even do wheelies in the thing. And I kept asking Sam, like, what am I doing wrong? Like, I don't understand what I'm doing. And he'd explain to me how he would do it. So I'd go out there and I'd try it, and I would fail at it. And I'm like, okay, obviously I'm missing something. So just doing more shows and listening to what Sam's saying and how to do it and how to do this. And I'm doing it, but it just isn't working. So finally I was just like, you know what? Like, I'm gonna try doing something my way, and I'm gonna see what happens. And I started doing it, and it was working, and I was getting better at it, getting more familiar with it. And then Sam's like, no, he's like, you can't do it like that. You need to do it like this. I'm like, yeah, you're right. You know, I need to do it your way. And I could just never get it. And then I ended up going and getting like a GoPro camera and setting it up and stuff, and like taking videos as I'm doing it. And I'm even showing him videos off my GoPro. And I'm like, I'm doing exactly what you're telling me to do, but the truck just isn't doing it. So I was like, I'm just going to go back to the way I was doing it. And that was probably the one and only time I've just like, just kind of blew off what he said. And I was like, I got to teach myself on how to do it in this truck. You know, Sam's telling me how to do it in his truck and what his truck reacts to, but it's just, the vet's totally different. You can't drive the truck the same. So you, with the vet, you got to be way more aggressive. If you want the truck to do anything, you have to make the truck work and do it. And it just, you know, with Sam's truck, it's just, it's so easy and just goes out there just so nonchalant and just does whatever he wants it to do and makes it look so easy. And then you get in the vet and you're just like, man, this thing is just, you know, kicking my butt. And so it was definitely a big curve and stuff, but by far the funnest truck I've ever drove. I still think it's one of the, you know, even the first time I met Sam and I saw the truck, I liked the looks of it, mostly just because, you know, growing up watching Monster Jam and stuff was, you know, one of my biggest, you know, superstars to me was Jim Kohler. I absolutely love the guy, and he had a car, you know, and being the 57 Bel Air and stuff. And so then Sam had the Corvette, and it was just like another car and stuff. So I loved it right off the bat. I think it's one of the better looking trucks out there. And I can definitely tell you that Sam did a really good job with that truck. It looks amazing. I love it. I would not trade that truck for anything. When in the future, when I got to build another chassis or something, I'm going to replicate that chassis the best I possibly can, because I do not want to get rid of that thing. That thing is my life, and I love it.
So let's talk about your first win. Do you remember where it was and what truck you were driving?
Obviously, it's going to be in the vet, because I don't think I ever won anything driving. No, I take that back. I do take that back. That would be Nasty Boy at the Irwindale Speedway in California. It was a pavement show at a circle track, and I remember that we did three rounds of freestyle, and it was me driving Nasty Boy, Sam and Unnamed. Kendra was driving Rat Attack at the time, and then Rod Wood was there with McGruff. And I remember going into the third round of freestyle, the left rear tire on the vet ended up blowing out like the first round. So Kendra was out all night, so she didn't even, you know, get to compete really. And then the third round come about, and then Rod Wood, I think, broke a drive line or something. And then Sam went out there and blew blew off an input shaft on the transmission. And so I was the only one left. So I went out there and I did a whole freestyle and kept the truck in one piece, got done doing the freestyle, got out and waved to the crowd. And they did the cheer off, and it ended up being me just because I was basically the only one still running. So, you know, I guess it's a win, and I'll take it being the first one. But I think that's probably the first one. But on the only other win I've had outside of driving Rat Attack, all the other wins I've ever had have been in Rat Attack. So I think that's the one.
So I know you've learned a lot from Sam Sturgis, but who are some of the other people in the business that you've learned from, you've taken advice from and learned a lot from?
Well, like I said, when it comes to driving the vet, I listened a lot to Caesar. You know, he was one of those other guys that drove the vet a lot. Derek Ritter, when I first did all those shows back in 2015 with Sam during the summer, Derek was there driving Nasty Boy. So I got to learn a lot from him on how to drive Nasty Boy. He was the only one I've ever seen personally kind of drive the truck while I was kind of there. Gary Ely, a longtime friend of Sam, has driven Nasty Boy a bunch too in the past. He's driven all of Sam's trucks, actually, and he's an awesome driver. You know, Sam even says that, you know, Gary can drive the truck and do wheelies just as easy, almost like Ronnie did. So I learned a lot from Gary, especially when it comes to driving Nasty Boy. Terry Woodcock is another one, just because he's another one of those old-time legends that's just – he's done everything. And he's had so many different trucks, and he's been in a lot of different situations and stuff like that. So I've learned a lot from him. I've learned a lot from Gary Schott with Terminator. Even just listening to other guys drive, honestly, I actually kind of started driving the vet. You know, I know he probably isn't going to like it when I say it, and if he ever watches the video, but honestly, watching Larry Quick a lot, watching him all the time on YouTube and everything else, the way he drove his truck, he drove it so hard, and he could go into turns and just hit the brakes and let the truck slide around and let the back end come around and get to the next one and stuff. I learned a lot from watching him. So that's kind of where I learned a lot of driving the vet on how to, you know, get it to turn real quick, easy, get to the next one, was from him. And I want to say that there's so many more people out there I know that I've learned a lot from, but honestly, those are just really the big ones that I see all the time, who I'm always around and stuff. And they're probably just the top ones that they've taught me something, have showed me something, and, you know, have kind of, you know, talked me through on what's the best thing to do and what scenario. So those are probably the top people I've learned from.
Now, I hear you right there. And make sure you guys are joining this. Make sure you're sharing this all across Facebook so everybody can jump in and hear Jacob tell the story, and as well as ask some fan questions. If you have any questions in the comments, please leave them. We'll definitely bring them up, including this question from Joshua Sorek. And he says, if you could drive any monster truck in any era, what would it be?
Oh, man. I would love to just drive one of Jim Kohler's trucks, mostly just because, and it would be more of today's era truck, just because, you know, in today's world, and, you know, the guy's known for big air. You know, he can go out there and get 30, 35 feet, 40 feet of air and just land, and it's like it doesn't phase it, you know. So it would just be really cool to go out there, hit a jump as high as I possibly could, and just know what a truck like that would land like and what it would feel like. That would probably be my number one truck. Being a kid growing up, and I never got to go to a Monster Jam show until I met Sam. So all I really had was all the independent shows, and it was mostly Ed Beckley's shows, Check the Flag Productions, that I always went and watched. He was the one that came to my hometown every year, sometimes twice a year. So it was mostly just independent trucks I got to see. So I got to grow up watching Bigfoot a lot. You know, I remember always wanting to drive a Bigfoot truck, just because, you know, Bigfoot's a big truck, a big name. the one that started it all, basically. And so that would be another fun truck to just say I got to drive, check it off the list. Another truck would probably be little Gary's truck, Gary Schott Jr., his old truck he had, Hooligan. I just loved that truck. I loved the looks of it, sounds of it. And then I was actually at the show he first did an event with. He debuted the truck, you know, prior before going down to Tucson. But in Tucson was the first time he ever actually went out and did, you know, wheelies racing, a freestyle event. And I just remember watching that truck, just the way it worked, everything about it. I loved it. And that would probably be another one of those trucks I'd love to have. And if I'm correct, I'm pretty sure that that truck moved on to John Gordon, I think, is the fast metal truck now. So if that's still the truck, maybe in the future, probably not ever going to happen, but I would still love to drive that truck, the fast metal truck now, just because I kind of know the history behind the truck and know the people who made it. And I know it's a good stout truck, so that'd probably be another one.
We got the Mini Monster Dads in the comments, and actually you run with the Mini Monsters quite often, Warhead and all those guys. So what's your thoughts on the Mini Monsters?
Well, I think Mini Monsters are definitely one of the best things to happen to the industry, mostly just because, you know, our fan base is mostly about, you know, young kids and stuff coming out and watching us. So then for them to go out and see other young kids actually participating in the show, you know, driving over the jumps and driving over cars, you know, rolling over and stuff just like we do, I think Mini Monsters is definitely one of the best things that has ever happened to this industry. And like you said, you know, Warhead with Mason and stuff, I've tried to be there as much as I can to help him. The first time I met him was in Del Mar of 2019. And I just remember just kind of watching him and, you know, being as young as he is, it's totally understandable. He was, you know, just really nervous and really didn't know kind of what to do. But you can tell he has a passion for it, and his, you know, he's just, that's what he loves and he wants to do. So during the Del Mar, which, you know, if anybody knows Del Mar, it's just six straight days of two shows a day. So, you know, we're all out there for 6 days, two shows a day, just running trucks. So when I really wanted to, you know, get to know him and stuff like that and really help him through going through Del Mar, because we had so many shows. And so walking over to him, introducing myself, and just slowly kind of started to teach him a few things on what I've been taught. You know, my biggest thing I was trying to teach him was just, you know, momentum. You want to keep your momentum up, power through everything. You know, it doesn't necessarily, you don't always have to necessarily get the biggest air, or, you know, or have the wildest, craziest freestyle and everything, you know, for people to applaud you and for you to have a good show. So I was just trying to, you know, kind of put that in his head, and, you know, and it really didn't take him long to figure it out. Being as young as he was and how much stuff's going on, he really learns really fast. And then being able to do other shows where he's been at, and just being able to teach him and be able to teach him kind of what to do, what not to do, what to look out for and stuff like that. You know, they've all come a really long ways. They're all kids just like we were, that have a big dream, that want to be a part of the Moss Trucks. So definitely one of the best things that have ever happened to the industry is those guys. And it's just, you know, they're the future right there. And I might be a young kid still growing up and everything else, and I still have a long ways to go, but they have even longer to go. So they're definitely the rising stars and going to be the superstars of this sport in the future. So anything I can do to help them out and give them a little bit of advice and make something a little bit easier on them. And, you know, I can't wait to see a lot of them getting big trucks and see what they really can do. And hopefully a lot of them can go out there and be really successful. So.
Heard you mention Del Mar. I got to say, Del Mar was pretty good to you. Talk about that experience at Del Mar.
Yeah, well, I think Del Mar was a lot of luck involved in that. just because, like I said, if anybody knows Del Mar, it's like Jimmy Creighton's there with his trucks every year. And that year, just, you know, even though he won the racing championship that year, you know, he come to Del Mar and it just seemed like all the bad luck he could possibly have happened that week. And it was just, I guess, good luck for me since he had bad luck, because I, you know, I went out there and I don't think I won, you know, because each day one person takes the whole day off and they kind of just become a backup truck just in case. And I know, obviously, you know, I had one day off and stuff like that, but he just seemed like he had so many problems that week, just blowing a motor. You know, I think he went through like two or three of them that whole week, and it was just bad for him. But I just tried to do the best I could. You know, I had a good week, nothing broke. And we had Juan come in and drive Sam's truck, and you know, he did a good job. And we all just tried to survive the week. That's really all you want to do when you have something like that. And so it was a good week for me. A lot of luck involved just because Jim Creighton had, you know, so much bad luck, but you can't put anything off on Jimmy Creighton. You know, he's got two world championships, and you know that's not to be taken lightly. So I knew going into Del Mar, if I wanted to even kind of be even close to the same page as him, I knew I'd have to step it up. And I definitely tried to do that, and I was lucky enough. I come out with, I want to say, probably 4 out of the 6 days with wins. So it was pretty cool. It was pretty awesome. Definitely different. A different experience for me. It was the first time I've ever done a show for Borba, and it was really cool to see what they were like. I was there the year before, prior, helping Kelvin and Rosalie with their trucks, but I was just crewing at that time. So I knew that going in to that week, being that we had two trucks there, I knew we had a long week ahead of us, and we just wanted to get through it. But luckily for all of us on the Sturgis Motorsports camp, you know, we all had good luck that week, and we had a lot of fun, and we definitely cannot wait to honestly get back there. I know I can't wait and stuff like that. So it was a fun show and a fun week, and I can't wait to get back there.
Man, I'm telling you, Jacob, I'm looking in the comments. You're getting lots of love. A lot of your competitors are coming in too and giving you all lots of shout-outs. One of them being your teammate there, Juan Munoz, says you're a badass man. You're driving a smooth and collected, and Del Mar was very well deserved, no doubt. Then I see an awesome comment here from the Sturgis Motorsports page, and it says, "He is so dedicated, hardworking, and honest. It's like having Ronnie around again." Jacob, are you there? I don't see your camera.
Yeah, oh, I'm here. I don't know what happened here. Hold on. There we go.
Hi.
Camera was turned off. No. Cool. No, I appreciate all the comments. Juan, you know, you're a badass dude too. I've seen you drive a whole lot of trucks, being with Bill Payne and stuff. And, you know, Bill Payne runs his trucks hard and stuff like that. So being able to drive for him and stuff, that's saying a lot. And I've seen you drive Sam's truck and the things you can do in there, whether you keep it on all four or you keep it upside down, either one, you can still put on a good show. And regardless, you're just a nice guy, cool guy to be around, hardworking. You love the sport just like any one of us. And hopefully this summer or something, we can get some shows and, you know, maybe get you back with us again and have lots of fun again. And you know, Sam and Peggy, if it wasn't for them, I really wouldn't be where I'm at today. So everything that I've earned, I've won, it's because of them. So if it wasn't for them, I'd have nothing. I wouldn't be where I was. So all my love and stuff all go out to them.
So you talk about Juan in the comments. Who would you say is your favorite rival, or who are some of your favorite people to compete against?
I don't really know about really, you know, rivals or anything. I love kind of competing against really anybody and everybody. I like being around everybody in the sport, you know, getting to meet new people or getting to see old time friends that I've been doing shows for a long time. Honestly, when it comes to doing shows, you know, it seems like we do a lot of shows for, you know, Steve Curcio and And it seems like we always have, you know, Terry or, you know, Gary or, you know, somebody like them at those shows. So getting to be around a lot of the legends and stuff, those are probably definitely the coolest, just because, you know, watching Sam and Terry and Gary and all them, just at the end of the night when we're all done, we're just barbecuing and cooking food and hanging out. Just listening to all those guys tell all the stories of way back when and, you know, the stuff well before I was even born, you know, and just being able to listen to all that is just, it's really cool because it's just, it's history that a lot of people don't know about. And, you know, it's, it's pretty fair to say that I'm pretty lucky to be around, you know, people like that and be able to get told the history of, you know, what things were like back in the heyday, and, you know, when obviously you didn't have the big technology stuff today and you had to work with what you had and you could still go out there and put on an awesome show and get to the next one and just everybody being friendly and awesome and helping out. And, you know, that's definitely what this sport's all about, is just being one big family, helping everybody out. And those, just being around a lot of the older time guys and getting to meet some of the newer guys. You know, I've this year or last year, I guess, 2020, being able to do, you know, some first quarter stuff with Monster Jam, being around a lot of those guys that, you know, you would never even get to compete against, but just being around them, getting to meet a few of them. And then, like, I was able to do a couple shows with the Swansons and stuff and being around Eric and everything, you know, him being a part of Monster Jam and also being an independent, you know, love being around those guys. Those guys are, you know, just like us. They love doing monster trucks. They love the whole scenery. They like to put on a good show. Rick is, you know, obviously more of, you know, let's make the paycheck, let's go to the next one. Eric likes to go out and have the fun. I don't blame him because I'm the same way. I want to go out, have fun, do everything. And Sam's just always, let's just make the show, load everything up and stuff like that. But just being around a lot of the old time legends, the newer guys and stuff like that, is just being around everybody. I can't really say I really have a rival. I like being around everybody. I like competing against everybody as hard as I possibly can. If I win, that's awesome. You know, if I win, I learn something, you know, and then if I lose, I learned something too. You know, this is what I got to improve on. This is what I got to do better at. So either way, it's a win-win. Just being around, being able to live my dream is just the biggest thing I can say is the best about the whole thing.
Got a comment here from Rudy. You've been working alongside him lately. He says, does RR count as me being your biggest rival?
Well, Rudy, you've only beat me, I think, once or twice, and we've had a lot of competitions together there, but you still, I think, owe me $15. So, but now you being my biggest rival, yeah, I can say that. But hopefully we can put you in a truck one day and then me and you can be rivals, you know, for real, and see who can bring home the most wins in a year without breaking the most stuff. That's the goal.
Joel, do we got any more comments?
Yeah, got one here from Fernando Martinez. He says, pull it up here. Where is it? Here it is. Great impatient t-shirt doing shows. Didn't know you play basketball. Might just be the one to school you in that. And I know we see in the background you have a hoop on your door. I know Chappie spotted it earlier.
I got the hoop back there. The girlfriend got it for me for my birthday. You know, being up here in Utah, especially in the winter, you can't always go outside and play basketball. And with everything going on, all the indoor stuff's pretty much shut down. So I had to improvise a little bit, got me a little hoop. And I play a little bit here and there, especially on the video games. I do like to play, you know, NBA 2K on, you know, on my PlayStation and stuff. I like it. I like to watch basketball. I did used to play. I really don't anymore. I definitely kind of lost touch in it. I don't really think I'm in a good enough shape for it anymore. But I have been trying to go out. It's been pretty nice here in Utah the last week and stuff. And I've been trying to go out, find a basketball hoop somewhere, you know, get a couple hours in and just shooting hoops and stuff. And, you know, it's fun to do. And like I said, I definitely lost touch in it, but it's still fun to me. Being a child, that was another thing I really liked, was was to play basketball and stuff like that. And, you know, going to actual NBA games was really fun. And basketball still holds a pretty good meaning to me. And I like to just kind of stay a little bit in touch with it. If I ever can, I do like to go out and shoot a couple hoops, hopefully make a couple, but usually that don't happen anymore.
Got another one here from Miles Parker. He says, can't wait to hang out with you again. Miss you, buddy.
Yeah. Hey, good to see you, Miles. Glad you're tuning in. It's been a long time. Haven't seen you in a while. Hopefully you're doing good. Hopefully you guys had good holidays, you and the family. And yeah, I can't wait to get out there and, you know, get to see everybody again. This is really kind of killing me. Just 3-4 months of just no Monster Truck action. Just sitting here waiting. And I'm antsy. I'm ready to get back in it and ready to get out there, see everybody that, you know, I haven't got to see for a long time, and just be able to get back in the truck again. It's getting hard to just sit at home trying to find things to do. My girlfriend's about ready to kick me out anyway, so got to do something. So hopefully the Monster Truck thing picks up soon.
No, there's a lot of fun moments you have with Juan Munoz on the road, and it looks like one of them. Our past guest, Rick Corsio, wants us to talk about, and he says, Jacob side-by-side with Juan in the final round at Mojave when Juan went into the fence.
Oh, yeah, that was – I didn't really see, like, exactly what happened. We went out there for – a freestyle. It was, again, it was another 3-round freestyle event. It was me and Juan, and then Sam wasn't even there. Sam was in Victorville with his jet truck. So it was just me and Juan having the trucks and two other trucks there. I can't remember who the guys were, but I know that they were having problems with their trucks all night. So they really weren't doing much, and it just mechanical failures on the trucks and stuff. But so me and Juan decided, you know, on the last round of freestyle, let's both go out there. Let's just both do what we can and stuff. And hopefully, you know, everybody will like it. And I remember I went down towards like the south side of the track, and he was going towards the north side. And I turned around and I just seen the truck was sideways, and I didn't even realize it was, you know, through the fence. But like, I just was like, all right, well, he's not moving or anything, so I'll just call it done there. So I went in front of the crowd, got out and waved. And as I drove by him, I seen that, yeah, that he went through the fence. And I was like, oh, kind of wondering what happened there. So we got done that night, and he was telling me about it. And basically all he did was just went over a set of cars and got into a wheelie. And it was on a racetrack, so when he went into the wheelie, some of it was kind of, you know, being on the banking of the turn, and some of it was dry, some of it was wet, and he just got into the throttle to go, and it just kicked the truck sideways, and it bounced, and then the front end bounced and kind of went through the fence and stuff. And it was completely away from everybody. You know, there wasn't even, he was on the other side of where Stans even was. So, you know, nobody was hurt, nothing like that, but it was just, it was kind of an eye opener on, you know, what kind of happened. But nobody got hurt. You know, the truck didn't get hurt. You know, we obviously don't want stuff like that to happen, but sometimes it does. And but luckily, like I said, nobody got hurt, and the truck was good. And the, you know, the fans still loved it and had a great time. We had a whole bunch of people come out afterwards as we were tiring down. Just everybody was just happy with us. So that's the main thing. But yeah, it was a pretty exciting show for sure.
And another fun moment, Mike Menner asks, can you walk us through the phone call to Sam after Juan rolled the truck in Indio?
Poor Juan. We're just beating on him tonight.
I can't really walk you through the phone call because, you know, Juan being the person he is and me being who I am, we both understood that he was to make the phone call. And I told him, you know, you need to go in the motorhome where, you know, it's private, everything else. Go in there, call Sam, let him know what happened. You know, that's the only thing you can do. And at the show, he was that Mike's talking about being in Indio. Sam, again, wasn't there. And it was just, you know, just something that happened. He came over the jump and he landed on the other one on a different tough truck ramp, a little awkward. and it shot him up, and he figured maybe we'll go into a wheelie or something, so he throttled it and just didn't realize it happened so fast. He just didn't really realize that the truck was just way out of shape. So, you know, the truck just kind of flopped over on the roof and, you know, tore up the body pretty good, broke quite a bit of stuff, you know, nothing that, you know, couldn't be replaced or anything like that. But the phone call, I couldn't really tell you, man. I told him to go in. You know, it was his phone call to make. It was his mess up. So told him just go in the motorhome, make the phone call. But when he come out, I asked him, I was like, did Sam say anything? No, not really. And he was probably a little upset then. But we finished tiring down that night, loaded up, and I drove all the way back home that night. And I remember pulling in to the shop, and Sam just met me at the gate, opened up the gate, and he's just, as I'm backing in, I can see in the mirror that he's just standing there looking at it. I'm like, oh man, here we go. This ain't gonna be good. So, and I got out of the truck, and the first thing I told him was, I was just, no, I'm sorry. I did not mean for any of this to happen. And he just looked at me and he's like, well, why are you sorry? I was like, well, you know, you let me take your trucks down on the road, you know, with you not being there. My priority and everything is to make sure trucks come back in one piece. And like one of them kind of didn't. And he's like, well, was that one your truck? I was like, no, mine's good. He's like, well, then I don't think you have anything to worry about. So, but I kind of talked Sam through kind of what happened. And then Juan's girlfriend and stuff was there and took videos and stuff. So we showed Sam the videos and showed him everything that kind of happened and just showed him that just a bad landing and everything just happened so fast that, you know, obviously it sucks when something like that happens, but we got everything fixed and everything's good to go. And I know Sam told Juan the next time he rolls over that he can bring his car down and he can take the body home and he can fix it. So that's about really all I got out of that conversation.
And Juan said, this is about Jacob. So, Juan, we talked about you rolling over a ton. So, you know, let's turn the tables. Jacob, have you ever rolled over a truck?
Luckily, I'm keeping my fingers crossed, my toes crossed, and everything else. I have not rolled over yet. It will happen eventually. And there's no way around it. It's going to happen. And I've just been fortunate enough to know, or, you know, it hasn't happened yet. I've watched Sam roll over, and I've watched other people roll over in Sam's trucks, and you know, it sucks, but at the end of the day, it's a part of the sport. It's going to happen, and you just try to learn from it, make sure it doesn't happen again. You know, we're the kind of team that we don't go out there and we, you know, set the world on fire every weekend, and that's what we try to do, is just destroy the trucks to put on a good show. That's not what we're about. And so, you know, we try to go out there, put on the best show we possibly can, but try to keep everything in one piece. But being a monster truck owner and stuff and driver, you got to know that eventually something's going to go wrong and something's going to happen. You just have to be prepared for it and just try not to make the mistakes. But my time is coming, and it will happen. And knowing that it's been this many years that it hasn't happened yet, I just have that bad feeling that when it does happen for the first time, it's going to suck and it's going to be ugly. But, you know, it's going to happen, and then I'll do everything I possibly can to make sure it don't. But that's another positive of driving that Rat Attack truck is, like I said, it makes me look 10 times better than really what I probably am. And that truck takes a lot of stupid punishment and abuse, and it can do a lot of things and be very forgiving. So I know there's quite a few times I should have been upside down, but the truck kind of forgave me for it and kind of let me slip out of it. But eventually I'll get upside down and it'll happen, but I'll just try to make sure, keep going and make sure it don't happen.
Well, when that day happens, we'll make sure to celebrate. But Phil, what time is it?
I think it's time that what do we call that segment again?
It's like the photo one, I think.
Yeah, all right. Now explain that photo.
Well, you just saw right there, explain that photo. Jacob, we're going to hit you with the first photo.
Well, that photo was my second time ever being in Pocatello, Idaho for Ed Beckley's big No Limits Monster Truck Championship show. And that was, like I said, that was the second time I was ever there. And I know the first time I ever went there, it was, you know, I've never really jumped buses and stuff like what they had there. So the first time I was there, I was very intimidated, to be honest with you. And I didn't do as good as I feel I could have. So I know going into that show, I wanted to make sure that, you know, that I was on my A game and I could do everything I possibly could. I really, you know, I wasn't trying to exactly win or anything, and I didn't. I ended up getting second, and that's honestly probably one of the proudest moments right there. Even though it was second, I was happy with it. It was awesome. It was a great night. But I know going into that show, I really wanted to do well, just because the first year I went there, I felt like I could have done a whole lot better. And so when I went in there, I just wanted to be on my A game, do the best I could. And I went out there and I got second in the wheelie contest. And then I ended up winning the racing portion of it. And I ended up beating Sam to do it. So that was another big accomplishment there. Because I knew lining up against Sam, you know, he didn't really care. He knew he was in the finals and he knows it's a big show. So I know he was going to go for it. And luckily, I was able to get the win over him. And then going into freestyle, watching everybody freestyle, I just knew that, like, I had to do something big. And then I watched Shannon go out there. And she hit that bus stack, and I watched her truck just go straight up in the air. And I was like, oh, man, like, I don't know if I should hit this bus or what I should do. And, you know, she landed it and nothing happened to the truck and she didn't roll over nothing. She drove away from it and she did an awesome freestyle. And so it was my turn to go. And I was like, well, you know, I got to do something. So I went out there and I hit a few jumps first to kind of just get going, get some momentum going. And I just turned and I was like, you know what? I was like, I got to hit the bus. Everybody else is. If I even have a chance, I got to hit the bus and do something. So I hit the bus. And it was weird. It was hitting the bus and having the takeoff probably hurt way more than the landing did. So I don't even really remember what it was like flying through the air, just because, like, on the takeoff, the ramp was so abrupt that, like, all my shocks bottomed out on the takeoff. And I just remember going through the air thinking, wow, that freaking hurt. And then I just remember, like, okay, the landing's coming up. So I just tap the brake, let the front end come down. And I had one of the better landings that anybody had that night. And it just landed real good on the down ramp. And I was like, okay, that's good. It's done. It's over with. Move on. Do the rest. And then I was able to – I think I got second or third in the freestyle. I don't remember. But I was able to get enough points that I was able to finish second. And that was honestly one of the biggest accomplishments I've had. And that was really cool. I had, being that it was in Idaho and it was real close to Wyoming in my hometown, I had quite a bit of family out there and stuff. So it was really cool to go out there, be a part of that show. I really can't wait to get back there. I'd love to get first there. I really would. But I know everybody who goes there, they're all heavy hitters. And, you know, nobody wants to leave there not being first. So I really want to get back there and hopefully one of these years come away with a first place trophy. But coming away with second place, being only the second time I was there, I was definitely proud of it. Very cool.
Got another picture right here.
Now that picture there, that was the first show I ever did being in competition. And that there is obviously with me, and that's my dad. That's the Nasty Boy truck I first drove. And that was just there during the pit party, taking all the pictures. And we were just about done with pit party, and I hadn't got any pictures done yet with my parents and my brother and my nephew and stuff like that that all came out. You know, that was down all the way in Yuma, Arizona, and they're all from Casper, Wyoming. And they found out about that show 2 days prior to the show, and they found out I was driving, and they drove straight. You know, they all took turns driving to get there. So it was awesome. it was a big surprise to see them all there. I didn't know they were going to be there. And I remember just working on the truck that day, getting it ready to go. And I turned around and they were all just standing there. So definitely even put more nerves on me being my first show. And then they were there too, but definitely one of the other best moments of my career was that right there. And being able to share it with my dad.
Definitely an awesome moment, as we have another one right here.
That was, probably, I want to say back in either 2013 or 2014. Once again, that was in my hometown, but that was at the fairgrounds for, I think that was for Mega Promotions. And Jim Kohler was there, Doug Nolke, I think it was Brad Allen. No, it was Steve Kohler driving Wrecking Crew. And then Alan Pizzo had both his trucks there. And that was just there in the pit party. And being in school, we ended up taking a field trip to the side of the town that the fairgrounds is at. And I remember driving by the fairgrounds there, and I seen the trucks in the parking lot there. So, like, I just, instead of going the rest of the way to the school field trip, I just said to heck with it, and I turned back around, went back to the fairgrounds, and Kohler was there doing the news channel. So he had his truck out and was doing that. So I snuck in there real quick, was able to talk to him for a little bit, and was able to snag a picture from him real quick, and then chatted a little bit more to a couple of the other guys that was there. And it was funny because, man, it was probably 4 years later, I go to the World Finals in Vegas, and he was, obviously Kohler was there. So I waited, the whole time in line going up to him. I wanted to get his autograph and stuff, because even that whole weekend there on that photo, I never got his autograph, and I could not believe it. So the only other time I had a chance to was at the World Finals, like 4 years later. So I was like, I got to make sure I get an autograph from him. And so I waited the whole time in line, and it got down to the end, and they were kind of kicking everybody out because they were getting ready to get everything started. So I kind of just snuck in there real quick and was talking to him, and he actually remembered who I was, and it was cool. He remembered the whole show. The show rained all freaking day, so the show was just so muddy and the trucks couldn't even really do much, but he remembered the show. He remembered me, and I thought that was pretty cool because, like I said, being a kid, he was one of my superstars I love to watch and stuff like that. So that was really cool, and that picture holds a lot of memories for me, so it's really special to me.
Yes, we do. This one's sent in by Juan Munoz.
Well, that there's the whole week of Del Mar, and that would be, we're working on one of the shocks off of Unnamed. Once again, Juan was driving, so we can all see where this is going. But now he went to go hit one of the ramps for the wheelies, and the ramp was a little bit steeper than what we kind of all anticipated, because the ramp kind of did the same thing to all of us, but it shot Unnamed straight up, and he come down kind of on one tire. He'd been a four link, and then we ended up getting a four link fix for the second show. Terry Woodcock actually gave us one of his four links because all the ones we had were not the right length. So he gave us one of his, so we used his. And then that night after we got done, we were just pre-racing trucks and getting ready to get them to go for the next show the next day. And I ended up finding that two of the shocks had the shock shafts were bent a little bit. So we decided, since we had the time that night, we took them both off and took the shafts out, put new shafts in them, put them all together, and put them back on. And so that's what we were doing that night, was just replacing shocks. And that's me there, one to the right of me, and Anthony Ritter, which is, I talked previously about Derek Ritter driving Nasty Boy and stuff. That's Derek's son there. Another kid that hopefully We'll be getting in a big truck soon. So all three of us just working on it, just kind of killing time, I guess. And that there, man, that's an old picture there. Man, that was there at our event center, which is where the first time I met Sam was. And that there's the old rock star in the background. And that was, man, I've been to so many of those shows, I don't even remember who all was there. Obviously, Rockstar was. I don't know if he had California Kid yet, but I'm pretty sure Bigfoot was there. And I don't know if that was maybe also the year that Larry Quick was there, because I know that there was a couple years that Bill Payne was there and Larry Quick was both there. But I'm not sure. Man, I've been to so many of those shows, I don't even really remember much of that show. But just another picture of me being a super fan, I guess, getting pictures in front of all the trucks.
You got one final picture for you.
That was there in Bakersfield of one of Terry's hometowns, Juan's hometown. And that was just, we just was getting done with pit party, and they were just standing there in the background, and me and Juan were both like, dude, like, we got to get a picture of both them in the background real quick, you know? So Juan hurried up, took his phone out and snapped a picture of them, and they barely even looked at the camera to see what we were doing. We all just kind of made faces, and just something kind of funny that, you know, Juan did. And really cool, because, you know, I talk about Terry and I talk about Gary all the time. And two of the best guys I've ever done shows with there in the background, two old-time legends that have just been through it all. They've done it all. And two people that I've looked up to while being in the sport. And then just having Juan there. Juan did real good that show. He definitely stepped it up being in his hometown. And I think he ended up taking all three wins that night too. So pretty cool for him. And I was just kind of happy to just be there and be a part of it. So.
Yeah. And Terry Wilcox said, old guys getting picked on by youngsters.
Well, it's youngsters that definitely look up to the old guys. I know me and Juan both just, we look up to both those guys. Like I said, they've done so much in this industry, and they're just one of the nicest people that you could really do shows with. And even just being outside of shows. And I know when Terry was on the podcast, you know, quite a few months ago, you know, just he talked about usually after we're done with shows, if we have no trucks to work on or nothing else to do, you know, we'll all just sit out there, barbecue all night, and just, you know, we'll just talk all night long. You know, listening to old stories of what he's done and stuff like that. And then, you know, them being able to tell us, you know, like, you know, who, like, what we look forward to in the future. And, you know, all of them telling us that, you know, that we're, you know, we're the rising stars, you know, we're the future of the sport. But if it wasn't for any of those guys going out and the old trucks that, you know, had almost no freaking suspension on them, or breaking their backs and ribs and everything else every weekend, if it wasn't for them doing that back in the day, you can guarantee that a lot of us would not be where we're at today. So you guys might be the old guys of the sport, but you're the old guys for the reason. We have people to look up to. We have people to learn from, experience, you know, different things from. So, like I said, if it wasn't for you guys, I know, you know, there probably wouldn't be much of this sport today. So, it just, legends definitely make any sport have a future. And it was just for them that we were able to go out and have some dream to just go out and drive a monster truck every weekend the rest of our lives. And so...
Hey, you got that right. Without those that came before us, we wouldn't be able to do what we do now. So perfectly well said. You know, when we're doing this podcast, it's 2021, and everyone knows 2020 was just such a weird year for monster trucks. And I know it was a weird year for you. You had the opportunity to go work for another team during the summer and fall once. You were the driver of Hang Loose for a number of weeks. How did that come about, and what was the big difference jumping into a totally different truck for a totally different team?
Well, like, it come about because, you know, like you said, it was just such a weird year for monster trucks in general. And I was able to do the first four shows, first quarter for Monster Jam, helping Kelvin and Rosalie. And then after that, me and Sam had two of our own shows to go do for Live a Little and Skyler. And so we went and did those shows. And then after that, it just, everything just was just shutting down and we had nothing. So our trucks sat basically all summer long, didn't move. We were able to get a whole bunch of work done on them that we wanted to do. And then, you know, I got to go work with Team Throttle Monsters with Mike Christensen and Paul Jensen. And Mike Christensen, you know, I've known almost from the start of driving trucks. It's funny now because, you know, now like his niece and everything, you know, I'm dating his niece and me and her are together. So now like I know him even more and stuff like that. So, but he kind of gave me a call and was like, hey, you know, I hired this other guy. I don't know if you know who he is, but, you know, he mentioned your name and stuff that you'd be somebody who he could work with and stuff like that. And I was like, okay, yeah, you know, that'd be awesome. You know, I'd don't have anything going on. I'm struggling myself. So, you know, I said, all right, you know, I'll come do it. So me and the girlfriend, we both moved up here to Ogden, Utah is where they're based out of. And luckily the girlfriend's got grandparents and stuff to live up here too. So, you know, we had a couple different reasons to move. And so I started with them and being with that Hang Loose truck and everything, it just, you know, not, I didn't really enjoy driving the truck. It was obviously a different truck, but it just, it's an old truck. You know, it really needs like somebody to go in there and actually take time to actually revamp the truck. We didn't really get the time that, you know, we were hoping we would be able to have on it to actually go through everything and make sure the truck was, you know, it's just not a truck that's built for today's world. Somebody really needs to go through it and revamp it to make it be a part of what today's world trucks would be. So driving the truck really wasn't all that fun. I can't say I had fun driving the truck, to be honest with you. But being a part of Team Throttle Monsters, you know, it opened up a lot of different doors for me, and it opened up different things that I was able to do. You know, I had even more experience of being with a different team. You know, how does this team work? How do they like to do stuff? You know, what are they all about? And going out and doing shows with them and everything else. And it just being with them, I will say, was difficult. It was, but mostly because I was taught how to do something the way, you know, Sam taught me how to do. And I've been doing that the same way for 6 years. So going to a different team, and, you know, Sam's the only person I've ever had to work for. So going to a different team and being able, you know, I had a lot more independent on Throttle Monsters. You know, they, you know, Mike and Paul couldn't always be there, you know, so I, you know, we would take other trucks and go do different shows and they weren't even there. So I definitely had a lot more independent and I had to rely on myself and my own knowledge. But just sometimes being out at the shop or, you know, being with some of the other guys, it just, like, I have a certain way that I was taught to do something. So sometimes, you know, being told that you need to do it a different way or do it this way or that way, you know, it was kind of irritating. It was just sometimes frustrating. And I know a lot of us would kind of butt heads and stuff like that. But the, you know, the overall experience, getting to meet different people, getting to go do different things. I can't say that any of them I have bad blood against or anything. They're, you know, they're all nice guys. they're all just like us. They're just driving monster trucks every weekend, trying to make a living and have fun and stuff like that. But it just, it was definitely a different experience. They helped me out a lot when I was struggling and everything, you know, and you can't forget the people that have helped you out, you know, throughout your life and stuff. But I was lucky enough that when the time came, when I got the phone call, you know, asking if I wanted to take Hang Loose to go do a show in my hometown. And I couldn't take a truck that I wasn't comfortable in. I didn't like being, and I didn't even know if it would make the whole show. I wasn't going to do that for my first hometown show. It just wasn't going to happen. So when I got the call, I told them I didn't want to do it in that truck. I wanted to do it in my truck. And, you know, if they were okay with me doing it in my truck, cool, I'd love to do it. And if not, then, you know, I'm fine with that. I won't go do my show. I didn't want to do a hometown show and just a truck I didn't feel comfortable in. So either way, it was all right. But I was lucky enough that they agreed to let me bring my truck up and take Rat Attack over to my hometown, do my first hometown show, you know. So being with those guys, you know, I don't think if it was for being with those guys that I would be able to have done my first hometown show. So, you know, they opened up that door for me. And then once I did that show, you know, it kind of seemed like, you know, shows were starting to slow down a little bit and they didn't kind of have work for how many of us were working there at the time. So we kind of just found it best that, you know, that they told me, you know, that there's a couple people out here looking for one truck to go do a show and stuff, you know, so I got to go out and do those shows. And then they brought me aboard doing a couple of theirs and stuff. So it just opened up those other doors to help me get even more shows. So I was able to run my truck a little bit last year and get a little bit of shows in. And then it also opened up the door of, you know, when I was out running that truck, I was just running my truck. I didn't have Sam's truck or anything with me. So I was out on my own. You know, Sam wasn't there. Sam was at home. So I was out doing the shows, making the money for him and stuff. And that opened up another door to be able to prove to Sam that I'm here to, you know, this is what I want to do. And you can trust me to take your equipment out and be out on the road and bring it back on one piece. And so it opened up that door. And, you know, like I said, if it wasn't for them, I probably wouldn't have been able to do that. So, you know, Thought of Monsters helped me out a lot. They opened up a lot of doors for me. But I mean, at the end of the day, I like the team I'm on. I love being with Sam. I got nothing against Mike and Paul. They did help me out a lot, but it was different. I'm glad that really nothing ended on a bad note. And I'm glad that we kind of just found it best that if everything's slowing down for them and stuff, that it probably just wasn't the best for me to stay. They had other guys that could be there who would be more beneficial to them rather than me. So we just found it best that I go my own way and stuff like that. And like I said, you know, they did open up a lot of doors for me. I got to meet some new people being out on the road, being with them. But ain't nobody ever going to replace working with Sam. So, you know, anybody who helps me along the way, it's awesome. But, you know, Sam's obviously my number one guy, the number one team I want to be with. So nobody's ever going to get me away from them. And I'll just really never just be as happy with working with another team than with Sam. Probably just maybe it's me just being stubborn or whatever, but I'm happy being with Sam. And that's where my start is. And that's where I really want to finish. So
I think that was such a great answer and such a great timeline. And I know you mentioned it. I'm going to go back to it quickly because I know my buddy Brian Anger was asking about that. When you got to go back to your hometown in your own truck and really have that full circle. I know when that event was coming up, the local newspapers were all writing articles on you. And I know your mom wrote this awesome write-up talking about, you know, when you were in school and kind of getting picked on and, you know, people just doubting you that being a monster truck driver is actually feasible and what you wanted to do. And there you are so many years later coming back with your truck in your hometown. Sam's not with you. It's Jacob Ladwig and Rat Attack. And you really put the haters to bed there.
Yeah, no, that was probably, you know, right there on the top three list of the greatest things I've got to do, just because, you know, yeah, just like you said, you know, coming home from school and, you know, having to tell the parents that, you know, I was picked on all day just because, you know, other kids thought it was stupid that, you know, a 15, 16-year-old kid just has a stupid dream of being a monster driver, you know, rather than getting a real job or something like that. You know, and it sucked. And that's kind of what made me forget about maybe I shouldn't be a monster truck driver there for a while when I was younger. But, I mean, at the end of the day, monster trucks was, you know, it was kind of my happiness. So that's – at the end of the day, that's what I knew what I wanted. And you know, I know, you know, maybe they won't admit it, but I know even the parents, both my parents were just – I know that they were – they didn't want the day to come where they were going to tell me I need to grow up too. And I know it was getting close, but it couldn't have been better timing meeting Sam and being able to, you know, get my foot in the door there and stuff like that. Was actually able to go out and show people that I can do this. And it really doesn't matter what you have to say. It's my life. It's my dream. I don't care who gets in the way. I'm going to make my dreams happen. And, you know, that's kind of what I did. So being able to go back to my hometown with my truck, a truck I was comfortable in, and, you know, and I kind of think that, you know, for years, every year, you know, I always wanted to go back and do a hometown show. Like, I've tried talking to other promoters about, you know, hey, you know, like, we got this show here. You know, I know Toughest Monster Truck Tour, they do the show in February at the Event Center. And, you know, and those guys are serious and they're legit. So I kind of know that nobody else was going to come in to the Event Center and take that show away. But I kind of know that at the fairgrounds and stuff, it was kind of an open, it's kind of like a fair game kind of thing. You know, we've had different promoters come into the fairgrounds and do something different. And I've tried talking to other ones and it just seemed like, you know, maybe it wasn't, you know, profitable enough for them or, you know, or whatever. But finally, you know, somebody was able to go in there and I was able to get the chance and just being able to go in there and show everybody that, you know, that I brought my truck here. I'm here. This is what I'm doing. And it was just an awesome feeling. And, you know, and I was able, we did two shows in one day and I swept every event except for the first wheelie contest. Dawson Reyes driving I believe it was a wrecking machine truck. He beat me in the first wheelie contest. And I was like, man, I was like, that kind of sucks. Like, kind of lost the first race right off the bat in my hometown. Like, I don't like that. So I tried to definitely make sure I stepped it up against them. But, you know, everybody did such a good job there. The show was awesome. And being that it was 2020 and everything going on, you know, we had a good crowd come out. And there was a lot of people there that I know, you know, maybe I wasn't friends with. I didn't really talk too much in school. But at least everybody got to see that, you know, this is what I'm doing. And I told everybody this was what I'm going to do. I never really told everybody I was going to be a winner at it or this and that. But I just told them I was going to be a monster driver. So bringing my truck back and showing everybody in person that I'm here. And I'm doing what you told me I couldn't do. And I'm going to keep doing it for the rest of my life, hopefully. And, you know, like I was trying to say earlier, I've always tried to do that show in the past. And I think, you know, just my opinion, but I think Sam always kind of was iffy about it. Just because, you know, anybody goes into their hometown show doing a show like that, and they want to step it up. And anybody can say that, you know, once you put the helmet on and you get belted in, you get strapped in, ready to go, you kind of forget to use your head sometimes. And I think maybe Sam was kind of iffy about it because he knew that if I got that chance that, you know, I'd probably do something stupid, roll the truck over, you know, just try to show off and everything else. And I think being able to go there to do that show and Sam wasn't there and I got to prove that I did my hometown show, and you know, nothing happened to the truck, and I was successful being there, and I loaded everything up in one piece, and I was able to go do the next one, no problem. And so, I mean, it was cool just all around being able to show the naysayers I couldn't do it that I am, be there to support my hometown, be there to support my family, and be able to show Sam that I can do this on my own, and I can use my head, a little bit of what's there. So it was just really good all the way around.
Got a comment from Kelvin Raymer, and he wants to say thank you to you and Rudy for coming out and helping him with the rebuild of Rosalie's truck. And he's looking forward to you, Rudy, and Sam coming back to help them finish it.
No, I appreciate you guys, you know, you, Kelvin, you know, giving Sam a call and stuff to help us out, to get over there, to help you guys out. I like coming out and just being able to help as much as I can. I can't wait to get back there. I was ready. I got off the phone with Sam yesterday and told him, all right, man, like, I'm going to start heading there. Like, this weekend I'll be there. And then, you know, Sam calls and says, you know, people were getting sick and stuff over there. So we got to postpone a little bit till we can get back there. But I can't wait to get back there. All of us get back there, get these trucks built, get them going, get the Kelvin's new truck going. Can't wait to see what that truck's going to be like. You know, if anybody hasn't seen pictures or anything, I can tell you that truck's going to be, it's going to be one badass truck. You know, it's built stout. It's built heavy. It's built like a tank. And with the way Kelvin's saying that he designed this truck to do what he wants it to do, if it can do it, then that truck's going to be unstoppable, and it's going to be really cool to watch. So I can't wait to get back there, get your guys' trucks fixed, and, you know, to be able to get out of the house too. So that'll be a plus.
You know, as we start winding down here tonight, I'm going to ask my next question. That's going to be, what advice do you have for someone wanting to get their foot in the door in the industry?
Well, the biggest advice is, I mean, I think even a lot of people said on the podcast here is, you know, you can't take no for an answer. Like I said, I showed up every year to Monster Truck shows just trying to get my foot in the door. And you know, just a lot of people weren't really looking for somebody at the time, or they wanted somebody with more experience, and I wasn't that person. So I kind of just got kicked off to the side, you know. You know, people would say, well, you know, good luck, you know, hopefully you get a chance, but, you know, we don't have an opening, or we have no use for you. And just the biggest thing is you got to keep going. You might think at times people telling you no is them kind of saying you can't, but it's not. It's not the right opportunity. It's not the right time. So you got to keep going out there. You got to keep trying, you know, and it doesn't matter what it is, you know, monster driver, you know, you want to be an astronaut, you know, you want to be a professional ball player. It doesn't matter. Whatever you want to do, it's all up to you. You can sit there and say you want to do it, but can you prove that you can go out there and you can do it, and and you can be good at it too? So you have to have it in your heart. You have to have it in your mind that nobody's going to tell you no. That's what you want to do, and that's the bottom line.
Hey, you got that right. And, you know, Jacob, I've seen you develop from literally your first event to where you're at now, and you've shared a lot of great stories and a lot of great pointers here. You are a definition of a rising star in monster trucks. But when it's all said and done, what do you want your legacy to be?
Oh, man. You know, I don't really think I have an answer for that right now, just because, you know, I am so young, and I do, you know, hopefully have so many more years ahead of me. I mean, if I can be Sam and be, you know, 70 years old and still driving a truck and kicking ass at it, you know, that's my goal. I really hope. So, I mean, with that many more years to go and being as young as I am, you know, I can't say that something I want to be known for is my legacy as of right now, because I don't. There could be so many more opportunities and doors that open up in the future that could change a lot of the things of what I'm thinking now or what I want to happen now. So, I mean, to be honest with you, I don't think I have really an answer for that. But I have so many more years to go, hopefully, that hopefully in the future I can get something brewing and I could probably give you an answer for you. But I mean, as of right now, I really don't have an answer for that.
That's the best answer. No answer, because your story's not done and your star's only going to continue to rise. So great response, Jacob.
Thanks.
You know, Jacob, we had a lot of fun having you on here tonight. Like I said, the other night when we got this going, you're definitely on our list of must-haves at some point. And I'm very excited to tell your story here and very excited to see you continue to grow. Hopefully when we get some more events on the schedule, we can see you out there with Rat Attack and continuing to climb up the ladder of monster trucks.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, and I hope this year definitely turns out way better than last year. Hopefully, yeah, we can kind of somewhat get back to normal life. I can't wait to get back in the truck, get out there, entertaining people, and hopefully be able to meet some new people, learn some new things, and hopefully have a few more doors open up for me. So,
yeah, definitely agree with you. 2021, looking forward to it. 2020 is in the past, so it's going to be an awesome year. I'm looking forward to hopefully seeing you again at a show. I mean, that's all pretty much all I got. Looking forward to 2021. What about you, Phil?
Yeah, can't wait for it. And hopefully, like I said, can't wait to see the Rat Attack out there. Jacob, thank you very much for being on our podcast tonight. Again, hope to see you soon. And, you know, stay safe.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. Awesome. You guys keep kicking butt at what you're doing. And yeah, hopefully we'll see each other down the road. And hopefully it's a good year for you guys. So thank you for having me.
Thank you. Yeah, that's one of the strongest competitors on the West Coast monster truck scene. I know a lot of drivers are always talking about what that Jacob Ladwig's doing over there in Rat Attack, and I think tonight's podcast was a great example of who Jacob is as a person and also on the track with the Rat Attack. And keep saying it, can't wait to see what he has planned for the future.
Like you said, one of the strongest guys on the West Coast. First time I saw him was at Del Mar, and he just about won everything, if I can remember. So, I mean, that's Jacob for you. If you ever get a chance to see him at a show, always entertaining to watch. As Levi Schoen said, he said, "What's up, Wheelie King?" Jacob and his wheelies. But, Phil, I'm doing something this coming week.
You have some fancy stuff. So we're going to announce our next guest on Monday because Mr. Vincent's going places. Where are you going, Vincent?
We're going to the big CA, the California. That's where I'm from. We're going back there. We're going to Ontario, California. What's going on in Ontario? Hot Wheels Monster Truck Live drive-through. We're going to be going with a teardown. I'm going to interview some people. Maybe some of the people that were in the comments tonight might get an interview with them, get some pictures of trucks. You never know what's going to happen. Just stay tuned for it. We're going on the road, and should be a good time.
I can't wait to see what you're posting from out there. I know you know, that was one of the initiatives that were put together because of the lack of events that everybody over at Hot Wheels and Raycom were able to put together an interactive drive-through, and it seemed to be very successful. So I'm sure it'll be pretty cool to see a lot of what's going to go on as they're tearing down and as all the teams go back to wherever they came from and continue on with a great 2021, hopefully, as we continue on with a great 2021, hopefully, here on the Monster Truck Outlaws of the West podcast. If you enjoyed tonight's episode, rolling right into it, make sure you like and share this podcast video so everybody can come back and rewatch Jacob's episode whenever they can. It'll be also in our video archives. So go to that video tab, live podcast episodes. You'll not only find Jacob's episode there, but you'll see all of our other past episodes, including ones we did with his boss, Sam Sturgis, and a lot of the people that were featured in the comments sections here tonight. Yeah, Juan Munoz as well, his teammate Juan Munoz. Check out his episode as well. Also, all of our podcasts are available audio only, wherever you can find podcasts. Apple, Google, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Pandora, so much more. Wherever you can find sound, you can find our podcast. So wherever you're on the go, at the gym, in the car, you can hear our podcast audio only form.
We're everywhere, and we're not going anywhere. And you know what? This is a great podcast tonight. Excited to go on the road once again. And I miss monster trucks. What about you, Phil?
I miss it too, man. But we're having a lot of fun with this podcast. I know Vincent's going to see you later on the week. I'll see you here next Friday night with another awesome episode. Hope you guys have a good one. We'll see you next time.
Catch you later, guys.